strengthen us in your will. Thank you, Lord, for this space that you have us in, that you have me in, Father God, as a servant to your word, Father God, as a servant to your calling that I cannot turn back to, Father God. I, Charles, a servant of Jesus Christ, chained to him, Father God, I ask that you move me forward in your will. I ask, Father God, that this word fall fertile upon the ears in this room and the ears that are listening online, but more importantly, that this word and your message, Father God, be taken from this place to the ways and the wiles of the world, Father God, to lift others up, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, for a blessing upon our time, a blessing upon our talents, a blessing upon our tongues, Father God, as we speak, Father, your word. Use me as a vessel, Father God. Humble me in this place, Father God, to hear you clearly. And I thank you for that right now, Lord. It's in your son Jesus' name I pray. And I ask these blessings in your darling son Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And so I do want to just real briefly acknowledge my son, Charles Jr., and his wife, Brittany, my daughter-in-law. I got my grandbaby over there, too. Kayla's holding my grandbaby. So when I was 45, I told Charles, wait till I'm 50 to have a baby. I don't want to be a granddaddy before I'm 50. So my 50th birthday was last year, 2025, and they gave me a card, and the card said, happy birthday, Dad. Father-in-law, granddad. And so they let me know, so I appreciate them for that. They're sitting over there in front of, behind my other brother, Brian Perry, who has always been an encourager to me, so thank God for that. And so in coming to you all this afternoon, I'm gonna speak from the standpoint of where God has taken me over this time and brought me to this point, but also how we can all be used by him through the difficulties and challenges that we go through in life. So there are three dates I'm going to ask you all to remember. And you can write them down if you want to. But three dates I want you to remember. April 24, 2023. That's the day that India passed away. April 21st, 2024. I got rebaptized here. April 21st, 2024. And then April 26, 2026, which is today. And so I'm 3 years past the point of becoming a widow in this world, but I'm also can say truthfully through God that he's brought me through. He's brought us through. I look at Chuck Jr. and my other son, Julian, and the fact that they lost their mother at 20 and 26 years old. And I have to thank God because my mother's still living. At the age of 80 plus, I won't give her exact age. She might not like that. But my mother is living, so I can't feel the pain that they felt, but I can feel and understand the pain that I went through, but more importantly, what God brought me through. And so when India passed, obviously, I saw that as a point in my life that I didn't understand. I had questions. I asked God, you know, why at this point? And he told me, he answered my question. He said, I could have took her earlier. He said, be thankful for the 30 years that we were married, 23 years. And we were together about 7-8 years before that. But he said, just be thankful for the time that you had with her and not be concerned about where you are now. I will keep you in those times. And so as I go back and I look over my life, and sometimes she would say to me, boy, I raised you. And I would kind of get mad about that because I like my sovereignty as a man. And I would say, well, my mother, you know, lives in Cairo, Illinois, you know. And when she passed, it came to me that really we did raise each other in a sense because we had known each other for so long. But as I look back on the journey that we went through coming here in 2000, I went to law school here at Thurgood Marshall, finished in 03, 04. We went back to Chicago. I started practicing law in Chicago, and that was such a turbulent, just trying to build a practice and raise kids at the same time. And ultimately, we chose to come back here where she wanted to come back, and I did too in a sense because the people here, y'all genuine. Y'all are some good people. You know, people treat you nice. You don't have to be wondering, like, why that person, what's your aim for real? Why you treat me nice? But people here are genuine. The weather's great. And so we came back in around 06, and actually I was still practicing in Chicago, going back and forth every couple of weeks from here to there. I do want to mention this too. I apologize if I'm out of protocol for my tan suit. There was another Illinois attorney that wore a tan suit one time and became this big issue. So, but I chose to go with the tan suit because I didn't have one, so I went and got me a tan suit for this. But in any event, as I look back on the things that we went through and coming back here, and before I left Chicago, I was a member of a church. It was actually a church that my father pastored for a little while, and it was Christian Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And it was a deacon there, chairman of the deacon board. He told me, he said, regardless of what you do as an attorney or whatever you are, how much money you make, he said, always remember Matthew 6:33. And this is my text, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. And he was clear to me that whatever you do, if you use that scripture as a formula, you'll be okay. You'll get through the challenges that you'll go through in life. At this point, I was probably 30-some years old, early 30s. My kids were 10 and 4 years old. And I can just remember when we got back here, my focus was to seek the kingdom. And so, and in seeking the kingdom, I came upon Good Hope. It just so happened that India taught at Lockhart, and the major part of my practice was here in Third Ward. And when I came here, I would hear the preaching, Dr. Cofield's preaching and the other preaching and the teaching of Reverend Jefferson when I was in Christian Workers on Saturdays. That all impacted me to understand that the kingdom, while not just in this place, it was a place that I needed to be in. And so through the various turmoils that I've gone through in my life, not just the passing of India, but the various turmoils, I always come back to that scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. And so it was in this space that I also want to speak to you all from the topic, standing in righteousness when life turns upside down. And initially, my title was Standing When Life Has Turned Upside Down. But due to the fact that I'm pretty sure all of us in here are Christians and believers, and in particularly speaking to myself, there was an importance that I had to walk in God's righteousness as well. So standing in his righteousness when life turns upside down. And so when we look at that first point, my first point is, how do we stand in God's righteousness when life turns upside down? We have to seek God's kingdom. And so when we look at seeking, when we seek something, we look for it. We try to find where it is in, with an intensity or an intent way. And so Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. He's telling us that he's going to provide if we seek it. And so seeking his kingdom, he's going to provide a way for us to find. And it just so happened when I was coming in the door, I ran into Dr. Mallory Green, Elliot Mallory Green, and he asked me, just off the top, what are you speaking from? And I told him. And he said, well, that kingdom, he says, that's translated, I think he said in the Greek, as kingship. And so when we look at that kingship, he was saying, that's God within us. And so it's not necessarily that we're looking for a particular place, but we're looking for a relationship with God. And so when I came to Good Hope, that's what I saw, that I could formulate a relationship with God, but not only with myself, but with my family as a whole. And I can remember when we came here, we would come to 12 o'clock because we were younger. Yeah, sometimes I joke and I say that people that sit up there, and I just say it, that's the club section. I don't mean nothing by it. I'm just saying, sometimes you look and you can see, like, okay, they probably was in the club last night, but they came to church this morning. And so, but that's good. That's nothing wrong with the club section. You here. You in here. Yeah. No cover charge. So, but in any event, at that age, we would come to church, and we get here 12:30 for 12 o'clock, 12:45. And I mean, sometimes we have some intense arguments coming to church. And I can just remember when we would get here and put the kids in children's church, Deacon Raymond Whitley, he wasn't a deacon then. He was though, he and Sister Whitley were over the children's church at that point. He never said to us, "Why y'all always late?" He never said, "You know, children's church starts at 12. He never looked at his watch. Y'all know what he would say to me? "Man, you got a beautiful family." And I think about him saying that. My father was an encourager like that, and he would say that to me, but I also later understood he wasn't just saying it to me. He was saying it to India. "Your man is making sure y'all got a beautiful family." And for him to say that just gave me an encouragement to keep coming here every Sunday, to make sure that not only that we got the word, but that my sons got the word through children's church. And that grew them to be who they are today. And so it was in this space of coming to Good Hope Sunday after Sunday, hearing the preaching, hearing the teaching, hearing the encouragement of people who were part of the congregation, is what brought us to the space of understanding how we get through things in life. How when we go through the challenges and the trials, Dr. Martin Luther King had a saying, he would say, the measure of a man is not how or where he stands during comfort and convenience, but how that man stands during challenge and controversy. And so that's the measure of who we are. It's easy to be nice to people and say good things to them when the times are good and things are going well, but how do you respond to people when they're not doing what you think they should be doing? Not understanding that we all have our faults. Paul made that clear, that we all sin and fall short of the glory. The unfortunate thing is too many times we want to just apply that to other people. And the reality of it is that we all challenged. And so I thank God for that encouragement that came about during that time. And so seeking his kingdom came about as important to me at that point. And that's what I made sure that we did. And then I go a little bit further in the chronological history, and I look back in 2017, by this point, I was a deacon. And so the one thing that you learn about service in God is that what happens is when you get deeper into service, the devil gets busier. And he comes at you harder. He comes with new tricks. He may give you a little bit of time to kind of sit over on the side, but the thing is, while he's doing it, he's studying you. And the one thing he does when he studies you, he learns you. And he learns what your challenges are. He learns the things, more so what you like, because he knows that he can use that to tempt you, your likes. They can be basic likes, but he turns that into something that really can devour you if you're not careful with it and not in prayer. And so in 2017, I'll be honest, we were having some challenges at that point, and I went and talked with Reverend Sloan. And I told Reverend Sloan, I said, yeah, it's some challenges going on. It's year 17. And I said, I'm going through some midlife crisis too. I'm going to be honest about it. I knew what it was. And I said to him, I'm just having a hard time being happy in this place, in this relationship. Reverend Sloan looked at me and he said, "Doc," he said, "marriage ain't about making you happy. It's to make you holy." And so when he said that, I'm going to tell y'all, my heart actually dropped, because it's not what I wanted to hear. But he explained it in the context that if you all are living the walk of holiness in your marital covenant and glorifying God in that, that'll bring about the happiness that you should have or that you can have in that relationship. And so it was within this space, and I didn't really see it clearly until I became a widow, this concept of righteousness and walking in the way that God wants you to walk. So my point to how do we stand in righteousness during times when life has been turned upside down, and this may seem a little redundant, but we have to seek his righteousness. And that's the point too. We have to seek his righteousness. Sometimes we think about our own righteousness, our own self-righteousness, but Solomon said it best in the Proverbs that We have to seek his understanding, not our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will guard and direct our paths. And so there's a righteousness that we have to seek in terms of God's righteousness. But the only way we can know what his righteousness is, we have to read this word. And we have to be in this word. And one of the ways I look back on that the devil really tried to distract me once I became a widow, he attacked my patience to read the Bible. I love to read the Bible, but I went through this process of where my focus was off. They call it brain fog, and I still get it every now and then. But I just had issue with trying to go in and be persistent as I was in reading the scripture. But then we know that the word says that the word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, separating bone and marrow, dividing our thoughts and our intents. And so from that standpoint, I can now see that if I want to really seek his righteousness and seek who he is, I have to stay in this word. I have to read it, and I have to understand it for myself. And to understand that it's living and powerful, so now I can look at this Bible when I'm holding it, and I feel like I'm holding Jesus in my hands. I feel like God is writing a letter and the instructions to me every time I sit down and read this word. And so his righteousness was something that came as a point of responsibility for me once I became a widow. And I'm going to say this because my marriage, as Reverend Sloan said, my marriage kept me holy because I took that responsibility of the covenant to God first and foremost. That's who I made the promise to, and then I also made it to India. But the reality of it, once that covenant was removed, I had to realize I don't have that covenant anymore. And I'm going to tell y'all, it was people coming to me, brothers coming to me saying, man, you free. You do whatever you want to do now. And I kind of wanted to go out and shake my booty too, but when you know God, the thing is, he's going to keep you in check. And I'm going to say this to you. Y'all remember the phrase, God will never leave you alone? I always felt that in two ways. One, he will never leave you by yourself. But two, he's going to always keep picking on you when you're trying to go the way you want to go. And so I think about when I used to tell my older brother, leave me alone. And God would never leave me alone. He kept saying, I'm going to keep you on the right path. And that phrase he kept saying it to me. Do not make a lie to me, kept ringing in my head over and over again through the process. And so when I look at that aspect of my life and the importance that righteousness played in that and seeking his righteousness, it made me be accountable not only to myself, but more importantly, accountable to God and accountable to a message that he had for me to deliver that was much bigger than me. And so from that standpoint, sometimes God will put us in positions where we thinking, oh, man, if I do that, I'm going to be so uncomfortable. I'm going to have to get up earlier. I might lose some money. Pastor Cofield talked about being a nice attorney. Deacon Whitley told me one time, yeah, be careful because you don't want to be a broke attorney too. And so that's real. I always think about Attorney Calvin Johnson. He was a mentor of mine when I came back here to Houston. I met him here at Good Oak. And he would always tell me, Brother Cohen, whatever you do, do it the right way. You do it the right way, it always come out right. And so what I started to hear him say over time was that I had to line up who I was as an attorney and what I believed in Jesus Christ. So that's always... that's always made it easy for me to practice because I always look at first, what is it that God wants me to do in this space of representation? Regardless of how much money on the table, because the thing is, as Jesus talked about in this scripture right before Matthew 6:33, I think it's in 6:24, he says, you cannot serve two gods. You can't serve God and mammon, money, materials, and things of that nature. You're here to serve me. And so from that standpoint, the question that we come back to in terms of that concept of righteousness is, are we walking as God wants us to walk? Are we concerned about what we want, or what are we concerned about what he wants us to do? And so in this scripture, Jesus is talking about the cure to our anxieties. That's medication right there. He said the cure to our anxieties. You know, we'll go get a psychological evaluation. I'm not saying don't do that if you need it. But the reality of it is, the word is telling us what the prescription is. It says it, the cure for anxiety. So when you look at verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And so that's the thing, is we'll get concerned about what I'm gonna wear. Don't go to church because we're concerned about what somebody gonna say about what we wear. Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. We'll worry about where we're gonna go eat after church. And one of the biggest testimonies that I've seen in my life, it's a guy on the corner of Cullen and the Beltway, South Loop, South Beltway. Been there 10 years. This guy is homeless. And he sits on the corner with a sign that says, no Jesus, N-O, no Jesus, N-O, no Jesus, K-N-O-W Jesus, no Jesus, K-N-O-W Jesus. And so his ministry is right there on the corner. And when you pass by every day, you see this, and you start to wonder, like, okay, I'm riding in my car, got the AC on, it's 100 degrees out here. This man is sitting on the corner, and I'm concerned about how I'm going to get to my next spot. I'm concerned about the AC may not be working as good as I want it to work. And Jesus is saying to us right here, don't worry about that. He tells us, I feed the birds of the air. I clothe the lilies finer than the wisest, wealthiest man on earth. And you concerned about what you're going to wear? You concerned about that? I'm going to take care of that. And so it's in this scripture that we come back to the prescription that God gives us. And so as I look back again chronologically, and now I'm back at the point where I look at the things that I lost. I lost my dad in 2018 to cancer. I lost my oldest niece to cancer in 2022. And then, of course, losing India to cancer 9 months after that. And I look back on those losses. And while they were physical losses, I always look back on the spiritual gift that God has given me and us, my family, and those who were a part of our peripheral family, what he gave us in the lives that they live. Because that's the thing you always go back to remember. The very things that got on your nerves are the things that you tend to miss now. And it's because God has turned those things that you looked at as negatives as an opportunity of ministry in terms of how you treat other people. How we treat the people that are here before us, that we're with on a day-to-day basis. And not to take it for granted, because it may be gone tomorrow. And so it's within that space that I get to my third point. How do we stand in righteousness when life is turned upside down? We have to trust God for the results. And so in trusting God for the results, he tells us when we trust him for the results, he will add those other things unto us. Those other things being food, our clothing, our basic relationships. I never thought about how much I enjoy companionship. And when you don't have it consistently, it's something that you seek, and you have to make sure you're seeking it in the right way. You have to make sure you're seeking it in the right timing and all of that. And so I come to the point. And I told y'all to remember three dates. The first date was April 24, 2023. And the second date was April 21st, 2024. Now, I'm going to say this to y'all. I'm a very private person. I don't know. It's just something I have that's a part of me. I get concerned about certain things that I say, so I kind of pump my brakes a little bit before I say. I think it's part of being an attorney, too, that confidentiality thing. But in any of you, I had somebody tell me one time. They were like, you gotta take that a confidentiality vest off when you leave the courtroom, but it's hard to take off. But on April 21st, 2024, I got rebaptized. And in getting rebaptized, God led me to do that. And I remember I went and talked to Deacon Alvin Martin and Reverend Bell, and I was going to get baptized in May initially. And they were like, no, we baptizing this Sunday. Come on and get baptized. So I got baptized that Sunday. And when I got baptized, there were two young girls that got baptized with us. It was about 10 of us. And in particular, I remember the two little girls because they were 5 and 9 years old. And I can remember when I first got baptized, I was probably 5 or 6. I knew Jesus. I knew who he was in my heart. I didn't totally understand the salvation story, but I understood that Jesus would take care of me. And so when I got rebaptized, I just remember thinking these young girls had to have some level of trust in God that was beyond what their minds could really understand. But that's the thing. We don't have to always understand it. It's just that God gives it to us. And so it was in this space of understanding and seeing these young girls that I came to my own understanding of I'm not in control of anything at this point. I've had losses. I've had things that have happened over time to me that I didn't think would have happened. And then you get to this point where you like, man, I heard somebody say you either going into a challenge, coming out of a storm, or about to go into one. It felt like I was staying in them all the time. And at my age of 51, the reality of it is when you're a believer, you are in challenges all the time. And you're always having to deal with things in the proper way that God guides you to deal with them. But, and I'm going to get a little personal here, and forgive me for my shyness. But God would have about 9, 10 months after I got baptized, I started dating. And I was dating, and I met someone. And the reality of it was that I had written a prayer 4 days before I met this person. And I said, God, send somebody to me that I can incline my heart to them, and they can incline my heart to me. And 4 days later, this person came, and we were talking, and we were both widows. And we had lost around the same time, and we kind of understood each other from that standpoint. I'm going to be honest, that's why I can stand here now and talk about India the way I am, because she understands the loss aspect of things. And even when I hear her talk about her deceased spouse, and she'll say, but I loved him. And I say, I understand that. But it makes me feel comfortable that she loved him, because I can understand that's a person that can love me too and love me in the way that I want to be loved. And so I say all of this to say that about 9, 10 months, we decided to start dating and go out and do some things together. About 2 months in, 3 months in, I realized that the young girls I got baptized with, that was their mother. And so, I'm not gonna tell all our business, but I'll say this much. I looked at it as God. Andy and I always wanted girls. We had two boys, to the point that when Julian's gender was revealed, you didn't have them gender party reveal parties in. You just went to the doctor and they told you what it was. But when they told us he was a boy, India started crying because she wanted a girl. And we actually got pregnant with a girl in 2015. Matter of fact, Chuck would have been 19 years older than her, but she didn't make it to term. She passed. And so I look back on the fact that when I got rebaptized and the relationship that I developed that became my new love in life, and the space of that in terms of how God made me the father of those little girls in his own way, in the baptismal pool. And so from that standpoint, I want to thank Janae. She don't have to raise her hand or stand. She's shy. She kept saying to me, you're not going to call me out. But no, I do. I want to thank her for being used by God, and thank God for using me in the space of I asked him to send something, and he sent it in his own way. And to say that as we've grown together in terms of our decisions that we're going to make to be partners for the rest of our lives, it's not easy. The devil still sends tricks. But what I always hold to in that is that I sought the kingdom after India passed. I sought his righteousness in the face of a lot of temptation, y'all. When you a single man with a decent job and all 32 teeth in your mouth in Houston, it ain't hard. I'll say it that way. But what is hard is the self-discipline that you have to have in that. And I'll say to you, I wasn't perfect, but I kept seeking. Even when I failed, I got back up and I kept seeking his righteousness. And it kept coming to me, don't make a lie to me. You got a call that you got to walk towards. And I thought about this scripture in Romans 8:28. All things, not some things, not most things, all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The question becomes, do you believe it? That's the basic question. Do you believe it enough to keep seeking him? And so I say from that standpoint of seeking his kingdom, seeking his righteousness, and trusting God for the results, that all things will be added unto you. And I'll close with this. In verse 34, Jesus said, don't worry. He came back to it. Why are you concerned about tomorrow? I add to that, why are you concerned about next week? Why are you concerned about next year? It's okay to plan for that. But John Lennon said it best. Life is what happens when you have other plans. I changed that to God is what happens when you have other plans. So I say to you, Jesus said, don't worry about that. Sufficient are the worries for today. And I'll close with this. James 1 and 2. James 1 and 2 says, count it all joy. Count it all joy, the various trials that you go through. That's a shout right there, y'all. That you can go through the worst of times, the worst of things. And I sit here and I look at Deacon Page and the journey he's gone through, and still can count it all joy, can shout in the midst of that. That's where your joy and your happiness in life comes. How do you, again, stand during challenge and controversy? Not when things are good. And James goes further and says, for it builds, the testing of your faith builds perseverance and endurance. And then the endurance allows you to grow in spiritual maturity to withstand anything. So you should be able to go through some things and understand that you shouldn't have to be hurt by that. I mean, you can be hurt, but you got to keep going forward. You can't stop. And so the reality of it is, when we come back to it, is that how do we stand in righteousness when God, when the world is turned upside down? Sometimes we just got to learn how to walk in that life of upside down. Paul said it best. I have a thorn in my side. And three times, and he said the thorn was a messenger of Satan. He said three times I asked God to remove it, and he told me, my grace is sufficient. So I challenge you all today to walk in your world of upside down, understanding that his grace is sufficient. Seek ye first his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Trust God for the results, and all the other things will be added unto you. I thank you all for this opportunity this afternoon. And I ask that God continue to bless you and keep you in your journey for him.
We have heard a word today. Amen, amen. Stand on your feet if you will. We don't take granted that everybody here has come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you just heard a word today that gives you an opportunity to accept Christ. Chuck talked about righteousness and he talked about his journey. And I would venture to say that there are many in here today that is on a journey somewhat similar, that God is still working. And you may not recognize it, but God is working on you. And you know somebody God is working on. But here today, there might be an opportunity for someone to come just as you are, to accept Christ, to say you want to begin your walk with the Lord. You have that opportunity right now, so we extend it to you. If you don't want to come by yourself, just tell a person standing to you, help me to go up here to accept Christ, because we want to give you that opportunity right now. Chuck's testimony and his preaching was powerful because it shows how God works. And God is working today, right now, for you to hear the message that you heard today. So God is talking to you. We're giving you an opportunity right now to come just as you are. You don't have to try to get pretty and get all of those things. No, just as you are. We extend to you an opportunity to come as Minister Taylor sings for us.
For Christ to you, oh, my brother, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister, he will give you brand new life abundantly. Oh, come on to Christ.
Lord, we come now thanking you for your word that has been given to us, Lord. And we know someone here today still needs to accept your son, Lord. And we lift him up to you right now. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move, Lord. Move in a powerful way and show them that you are the way, the truth, and the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.